The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? This time of the year, it's all about a baby in a manger. Our Catholic brethren, they're all about Jesus still hanging on the cross. And a long time ago, this baby called Jesus was brought into the world by God and brought in for a purpose. So what we need to put our hearts and our minds on during this time, as we're reminded of him, is who he is. We need to be mindful of why he came into this world. And we need to be mindful of what he obtained for us while he was here. Who is he? He is the seed of the woman. In Genesis, the third chapter and verse number 15. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. The Bible says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so he is the seed of the woman. He came into this world. He was born of a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14. He had an unusual birth. He was born of a virgin, which is a sign for us, knowing that he is different than the normal individual who is born into this world. Isaiah 7 and verse number 14. The Bible says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, or God with us. He was born of a virgin. Look at Luke 1, beginning with verse number 30. Luke chapter 1. Verse number 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How shall this say? It'll be but God's power. It'll be God who bring this about, takes care of it. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So he is the seed of the woman. He is born of a virgin. And truly she was a virgin. She said she had no man. And you can put that in the bank. She was truly a virgin. And he is also born of a virgin as the Lamb of God. Look at John chapter 1. And verse number 29, John, the first chapter, Verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and that's John the Baptist, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He's the seed. He's born of a virgin. He is the Lamb of God. I notice I didn't say he was. He is the Lamb of God because he's alive today and he's on the right hand of the Father there in heaven. He is. Not has been, but he is now. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see? He's the only begotten Son of God. The only begotten Son. He was begotten because he was born of a woman. By the power of God. And so, he's the only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He truly is the Son of God. He's the seed of the woman, born of a virgin. He's the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God. Now, why did he come into this world? First of all, he came into this world to establish a New Testament church. Well, I thought he'd come to seek and to save the lost. Well, some of his initial action was to establish a New Testament church. And I know religion don't want to acknowledge that because they want to freelance. They want to do it their way and take and apply it to the Bible instead of taking the Bible and applying it to themselves. He came and he established a church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. Matthew, the 16th chapter, and verse number 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, and that's upon himself, not Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He came and he built his church. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 19 through 21. Ephesians 2, 19 through 21. Now therefore, he's talking to the church at Ephesus. Ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and that's upon the foundation. Their foundation is Jesus Christ, because 1 Corinthians 3 says there's no other foundation that is laid except him. And that's the only place you can build a life upon. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. Habitation. If we're two or three gathered together in my name, he said, there am I in the midst. How's he in the midst? He's in the midst through the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in the Lord's New Testament churches. The church is his body, and the life of the body is the Holy Spirit. The life of this church is the Holy Spirit. We're talking about spiritual life. And when the Holy Spirit is taken out of this church, we're no longer alive. No longer alive. But God forbid that that would happen. Listen, he established his church. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 here and verse number 10. He established his church to make known the manifold wisdom of God. Now that may be why we start with the church here. Because you see, without the church revealing the manifold wisdom of God, there'd be no salvation by grace through faith. Without the church being the pillar and ground and supporting the truth of God's word, in which is contained the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, without that, there would be no salvation, no eternal life, and no need for a sacrifice that he made. Ephesians 3:10 says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. He established his church that it may be made known the manifold wisdom of God through her. He came to be sacrificed for man's sins. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So he came to be sacrificed for the sins of mankind, because all men are sinners. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans, the third chapter. Begin with verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. The prophet said, our righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God. So man has nothing to boast about. And there's some good in everybody. The Bible said, God says, there's no good in any of us. We are totally depraved, and that simply means we have a total tendency to sin. We don't have to be taught to sin. We sin naturally. You don't have to teach a little child to rebel and disobey and bow their neck and their back and so forth and say no. You got to teach them. They do that instinctively. That's their nature. That's their nature. Romans 3:23, the Bible says, for all, that's all of mankind. It doesn't leave anybody out. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he came to be sacrificed for man's sin, because all men are sinners, and we are sinners by nature. Look at Psalms 51 and verse number 5. Psalms 51 and verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. She conceived him a sinner. He was brought into the world a sinner. It's his nature to sin. Psalms 58 and verse number 3. Psalms 58, verse 3, the Bible says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. So, it's man's nature to sin. He sins by choice. Look at John chapter 3. John, the third chapter, verse number 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Man chose. When they come to the age to where that they realize the difference between good and evil and understood there was something separating them from God, And they knew they needed something more than what they had. And the Spirit of God draws them. They become accountable for their own sin. Not Adam's, but for their own sin. They chose. Isaiah 53, verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 53. And verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, confirming we chose to do that when God compelled us to come because of our sin nature. We chose. When the light came, we didn't want to come to the light. We went our own way. We sought out our own way. That's true, and that's reality. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We are sinners by nature. We are sinners by choice. And because of the sin nature, we are condemned. Look at John chapter 3. John 3, third chapter. And verse number 18, the Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemned already because we have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. He paid the penalty that we might have life without condemnation. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. He wants us to know that he came that we might have eternal life and have it more abundantly. That's what this is all about. That's what Jesus is all about. You see, he shed his blood for his church. He shed his blood for a sinful man. And his desire is that we come to him and accept the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, that we would no longer be under this condemnation. He paid the penalty that we might have life without condemnation, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Who is he? Why did he come? What did he obtain for us while he was here? He obtained for us a better life. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, or the third proverb. Proverbs 3, beginning with verse number 1. My son, forget not my commandments, or forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. That sounds like abundant life, doesn't it? Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Listen, what he obtained for us here was an abundant life. Do we all have it? No. Because without Jesus Christ and without walking with him, without keeping his commandments, without hiding his law in our heart, the law of Christ, the New Testament, without that, we cannot walk with him, and we must walk with him in order to have that abundant life Any walk outside of that will not produce it. Look at Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. With him, it lifts and makes that burden that we carry because of sin easy. But without him, seeking out our own way and carrying that load ourselves, I don't know about you, but when he saved me, brother, I remember that load coming off of me. Yeah. Didn't have to carry it anymore. Didn't have that burden. I didn't have that condemnation continually. He came that we might have a better life, have it, and have it more abundantly. He came to obtain peace with God for us. Look at Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. By faith in who? Jesus Christ. What kind of faith? Faith in what he did for us. Faith that he fully accomplished all that needed to be accomplished in order for us to receive the blessings that God has for us and to enjoy that abundant life. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that burden that was lifted, that was it. I had no peace with him until he saved my soul. And he gave me peace that passes understanding, as he did all of those that have repented of their sins and by faith trusted him as Savior. He came to obtain for us peace with God. He came to obtain for us a life without fear. Look at 1 John 4, verse number 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love makes it possible for us to live by faith. Perfect love makes it possible for us not to have to depend on ourselves or others, but that we can depend on Jesus Christ, who is God, who came into this world in a miraculous birth as a sign showing that he had the power. And brother, when we will put our faith and trust in him, he'll remove mountains. Yeah. What do we have to fear? When he's with us, and he'll not forsake us. He came to give us no condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. Romans 8 and 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Ah, let's stop there. It makes me feel better. Now, wait a minute. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You walk after the flesh, you still got problems. You walk after the Spirit, and it relieves you of that problems. He came into this world that we would have no fear. He came into this world that we'd have no condemnation. He came into this world that we might have a better life in eternity. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the gospel, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice, the archangel, with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He came that we might have a better eternity, that we might have a better life in eternity. 1 Corinthians 15, begin with verse number 51. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You know what that change is? We're going to get rid of that sin nature of ours. We're going to get rid of this old sinful body, and we're going to have a new body. We're going to have a sinless body. We're going to have a glorified body. And we eternally shall not have to deal with sin ever again anymore. Amen. We'll not have that warfare within us. We'll not have to fight that fight that goes on continually. And did you know that temptation comes, it won't bother us. We won't be drawn to it. It won't be our nature anymore because we put that old nature down. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or be dead, but we shall all be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There you go. He obtained a better life for us eternally. Galatians 4, in verse number 7. Galatians 4 and 7. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. He came to make us heirs of God. And we're heirs of God through Christ. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 17. Romans the 8th chapter. In verse number 17. And if children of God, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. He came here to share his glory with us eternally and forevermore. That we might have an opportunity to be joint heirs with him, if so be we suffer with him. But if you don't suffer, you'll just be an heir. You won't be a joint heir with him. But he came to provide that for us. Revelation 21. What a life that we will have. Revelation 21. Begin with verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, not just in this life, but even in the life to come. We can have that more abundant life if we'll simply walk with Jesus, if we'll simply let him rule in our life, if we will in humility obey his word. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, he has prepared for you the way. And if you will come to him, sorry for your sins, because listen, you sinned against him. Your sins have hurt him. If you're sorry to him, a godly sorrow works repentance. And repentance simply is that with all your heart, you're ready, you're willing to turn from depending on self or whatever else that it is that you're depending on, and you turn and totally depend on and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. When that comes, you'll have that peace. When that comes, you'll be a son of God. When that comes, you'll be an heir of God and have an opportunity to be a joint heir with Jesus and enjoy those things that he's promised to the full. What shall we sing?
260.
Whatever the need is, come to Jesus.